Right now it's nearly 11:30 a.m. time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which the focus will be the plight of the Florida panther and Pete Gallagher. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is the Gothic Archies with a song called Crows here on WMNF.
It gets dark around here early because of all the crows. What they want and where they came from, no one really knows. Crows are sour and surly, with reason, I suppose. There are crows in the trees, saying crow things, doing as they please. There are crows everywhere, but when I think of you, dear, I don't care. It gets light around here slowly because of how it goes. Every day we hear the same dumb list of those crows' woes, thinking they're so holy while leaving mementos. There are crows in the trees, saying crow things, doing as they please. There are crows everywhere, but when I think of you, dear, I don't care. I don't care because I know you love me. Unlike all the crows lurking above me, there are crows in the tree, saying crow things, doing as they please. There are crows everywhere, but why not?
That was the Gothic Archies with a song called Crows, an animal tune of sorts, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 80.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, and streaming live on the internet via the station's fabulous website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show seeks to learn about animals and animal issues and celebrate animals, as you can readily glean if you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. The website offers archives of all our past shows, and we're podcasting on iTunes now, including all our programs that we've done here on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition once again extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, with the conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest Pete Gallagher, whom you may know best as the co-host with Rayford Stark of the Florida Folk Show every Thursday morning at 9 right here on WMNF. But Pete is aware of many hats, including expert on the plight of the Florida panther and a longtime advocate on behalf of these endangered cats. We'll find out much more about the Florida panther from Pete and his varied interests and pursuits. For instance, he's been involved in preservation of Florida's environment and wildlife, like the panther, for 35 years when we speak with Pete Gallagher in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Time now for a little animal news and or announcement segment. Just want to let you know that Florida Voices for Animals have a heart dinner and silent auction will be on Sunday, March 9th, 5 to 8 p.m. at Trang Viet Cuisine. That's on Fowler Avenue in Tampa. Expect a fantastic vegan buffet and lots of great items to bid on. The guest speaker is Dr. Jeff Novick on the facts of fat. You can find out more information at floridavoicesforanimals.org. 727-656-8368. 727-656-8368. Okay, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Mitch Hedberg with a snippet of a piece called Koalas on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
My apartment is infested with koala bears. It's the cutest infestation ever. Way better than cockroaches. When I turn on the light, a bunch of koala bears scatter. And I don't want them to, you know? I'm like, hey, hold on, fellas. Let me hold one of you. And feed you a leaf.
All right.
Why the koala bears? They're so fucking cute.
Why
do they have to be so far away from me?
Okay.
We need to ship.
That was the late, great Mitch Hedberg in today's edition of the Comedy Corner with a piece called Koalas, taken from his album Strategic Grill Locations. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but many are now available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our show last week with Jay and the Americans guitarist Marty Sanders discussing reptiles of various kinds. We also have a blog, a link to the new Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends. It's also a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter, so we'll keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and remind you when the next show will air right here on WMNF. That's TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to meet today's guest, Pete Gallagher, so let me quickly outline a few important details about him. As I mentioned a moment ago, you may hear him weekly here on WMNF as the co-host of the Florida Folk Show, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. But as something of a renaissance man, he's worn many hats over many, many years. For instance, he's been an award-winning journalist and writer. He's worked for Chief Jim Billy at the Seminole Tribe of Florida. He's a veteran singer, songwriter, and producer. He's managed the career of the late blues singer Diamond Teeth Mary. Heck, I could go on, but the main point is that most of his interests and pursuits are tied to his keen interest in preserving Florida's environment and wildlife, a passion of his for 35 years. Not coincidentally, Pete's an expert in the plight of the Florida panther and a longtime advocate of these endangered cats, the folks of today's show. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Pete Gallagher to Talk Animals. Hey, Pete.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks so much for joining us. We rarely get guests in the studio, so we feel quite fortunate today. So, but let's just jump in maybe sort of at the remedial level. I mean, what exactly is a Florida panther? What traits make a Florida panther a Florida panther?
Well, I guess it's the Florida panther is a cougar, really. It's just like the cougars in Texas and Colorado and other places. And it differs because of the geographical area that it lives in. The hair is a little shorter, and because of inbreeding, I guess, and genetic issues over the years, they have certain quirky things about the animal: crooked tail, a more of a feminine looking face than the kind of a bullish face of a Western cougar, smaller animal. And that's basically it. It makes it very difficult to tell them apart when one's a Western cougar and one's a Florida panther. That's why they have a look-alike law that if you harass or shoot a big brown cat anywhere, it's considered a Florida panther.
Really? They just want to make that assumption,
right?
So that I see. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And are some of the traits that you described about the Florida panther sort of what would also account for its or help account for its endangered status? I mean, it seems like it's up against a few things, which we'll get into mm-hmm. as we talk more here. But I mean, isn't the Florida panther considered one of the more endangered animals, or at least mammals?
Well, it's supposedly the most endangered mammal in the country.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the number is now, but I think right now the population might be as many as 50. And it's probably
that's
as healthy.
That's total yeah. in the wild, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Right. But the wild for a Florida panther is just a couple counties down in South Florida. Because there's really nowhere else for the animal to go, and it's probably as healthy as it could be. I mean, from what I understand, there was never a whole lot of panthers, because each panther has a huge range. You know, the males have a giant hundreds of miles radius.
Just because that's what they do to sort of forage yeah. mm-hmm. for food and
right.
just as part of their day-to-day
right.
existence.
And other than highway deaths, the largest cause of deaths of Florida Panthers is what they call interspecific aggression, killing each other. The males fighting.
Territorial? Yeah.
So it's not like they're pack animals in any way, shape, or form, you know.
Yeah. But in fact, though, I mean, it sounds like if you're saying there's really those two areas now, I mean, what accounts for that? Because I gather that at one point they were found mm-hmm. in a much larger area of Florida.
Well, supposedly found all the way up into the Carolinas.
Yeah.
And so they were legally hunted for many, many years. Mm. And it wasn't really until the Endangered Species Act came in the mid-70s that an organized effort began to first to find out if we had any and then to save the animal. And when they went out looking for them, the only places that they could find them were down in South Florida in the Big Cypress Swamp and in the Fackahatchee Strand in those areas. And they knew that they were down there because they'd find them down on the highway once in a while. And so they went out. And for many years, there were signs on the highway saying only 30, less than 30 left.
Really? You know,
for many years. And that's when I first became involved, when the first Florida Panther recovery team went out there to try to find them. And I was working for the St. Pete Times, and I went down with them for a considerable amount of time, went out with them every day looking for panthers. These were panthers that didn't have any collars on. Now I think almost every single panther has some kind of a collar in their
track,
regularly tracked by the air almost every day. And if a collar doesn't move for a certain amount of time, then they send in an emergency rescue squad to see what's going on, whether the cat's sick or been killed or whatever else. So
wow. So would you say that whatever the extent, if it's 50, which is up from 30, mm-hmm. I guess, mm-hmm. but they all are tracked in one way or another?
I think it's very rare to find one that isn't.
Wow.
I mean, even when the babies are born, they know when the mothers hold up and the babies are born, they'll come in there and inoculate and take care of the babies. And I mean, it's an incredibly highly managed endangered species population.
And it sounds like it needs to be. Let me just remind our listeners, this is Talking Animals on WMNF. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Pete Gallagher about Florida Panthers. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Pete a question, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So is that effort, I mean, how long has that effort been in place where it sounds like they really are doing everything they can to track and then, you know, like you say, if somebody looks like they're down mm-hmm. or sick, intervene there?
Well, really, since the late 70s when they started really going out there to find them, I mean, they every time they found one, they put a collar on it.
Yeah.
And they would track that cat, see where it went. And they tried to reintroduce them in other parts of Florida. They tried to bring Western Cougars over to try to interbreed with
yeah.
it, because really the Florida Panther has been, you know, whenever somewhere in Louisiana or somewhere where the Western and the Southern cats met, they were interbreeding. So they tried to captive breed the animals. There was a lot of complaint there from animal rights advocates.
Yeah, that's a tricky, which we'll get into. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the animal is not really a purebred animal. There's cases where the Florida Panthers were caught when they were way before in the 60s, they were caught in the wild and brought into zoos
yeah.
in South Florida, and then put in compounds with other types of cougars, even from South America, and then either got loose or were set free or whatever. Mm. So the animal is not it's got quite a
already a
odd
genetic
pedigree.
Pool. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's take a few calls here. We got a few folks calling in. Hi, you're on WMNF with Pete Gallagher on the Talking Animals.
Hello.
Hi. Would you mind turning down your radio, sir, please?
Certainly.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
A question for Pete?
I sure do.
Great.
My name's Cliff, and I'm not trying, don't want to start any kind of, arguments or anything like that. But the comment about the Panthers range being only restricted to South Florida, I work in the environmental consulting field. I do not deal specifically with endangered animals at all. However, I do come across a number of people, both on the developer side and on the conservation side, who have repeated a similar story or rumor to me over the years. You frequently hear of people who spot Florida Panthers in the Pasco, Hernando, Citrus County areas up here in Central Florida. And the supposition that has been told to me is that the wildlife officials are not interested in documenting their presence this far north because it would affect so many of the critical issues of our land use plans that would totally upheave and overturn the future growth development plans of the counties if they actually document presence of Florida Panthers this far north.
Okay, let's have Pete respond to that, please. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, well, you're talking about a conspiracy there that is just beyond belief. I think the wildlife officials would love to. I mean, ever since I was involved in this, there's always reports of people that see panthers everywhere. It's one of those legendary mysteries of Florida that people see panthers. But the fact is, the panthers are, they go where the deer are. Where are the deer? The deer are down in Big Cypress, Hendry, and Collier County, and those areas. They go where there's food. The males go where there are females. It's very rare to have one solitary panther somewhere. And of course, every time that there's a report that comes in, they do go out to check it out. I think they'd love to find, but you got to look at the area of Pasco County. Where in the world could they live up there? I mean, where is there a tract of land? Where is there 200 square miles of wilderness where there's not a whole lot of people there? That where they could live.
Well, and also, just on a smaller scale, I mean, it's interesting to note this because it seems like one of the things that's very characteristic of the Florida Panthers are they're, I guess, really shy, really elusive, mm-hmm. and it sounds like it's very, very hard to spot them, even if you're, you know, trained and that's kind of what, you know, part of your work involves. I mean, it sounds like, that, you know, often, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, biologists and others who are trying to sort of really see what the population is, only can go on sort of circumstantial evidence because mm-hmm. they can't see a right. Florida panther, right?
I mean, finding one dead on the highway is the best sign that they're in the area. And that's,
yeah, but I mean, you just almost never see one that's alive, right? I mean, just no. because they're so sort of careful at hiding now, and shy. You
know? Chief, I can bring up Chief Billy for an example. He grew up and spent most of his life in the woods out there in Big Cypress, and it wasn't until he was in his late 40s that he ever saw a Florida panther.
Wow.
And,
wow.
You know, they just are not, it was very, it's not a commonly seen animal. A lot of times people will see, it could be a dog, it could be, I remember one time they called in a report of a panther and the biologist went out there and it was a big piece of cardboard on the highway. And they thought they had seen a panther dead on the highway. And it gets very controversial, and you get some of these old ranchers up there that know everything about the land and their cattle and everything else, and you can't get in a conversation with them because they're absolutely sure they saw a panther, but they can't find the tracks, they can't find the scat, they can't find any evidence,
mm-hmm.
and so you have to be polite and say, you know, let us know when you see it again.
Yeah, but, sure, we'll come right over.
As
yeah.
of now, that's where they are, is in South Florida.
Yeah. All right, well, we've got actually a full bank of phone lines lit here. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on WMNF with Pete Gallagher on Talking Animals?
Yes. I drive a charter bus, and one day I was down in Myakka River State Park with an Audubon group.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I parked the bus, turned the bus off, and bounding across about 100 yards ahead of me was a huge cat. And when I mentioned it to the Audubon guide, she said, "You're about the third person to see the panther." So there has been one spotted. As far as I know, I spotted it in the Myakka River State Park.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of panther activity in Myakka River State Park, but I don't know if it's a rare isolated. I remember one time there was one female in Everglades National Park somehow got stranded down there. There are very few panthers in Everglades National Park because there's very few deer, very few animals for them to eat down there in Everglades National Park. And for years they wanted to try to move a male down to that area for this female. And eventually I think that female died without ever having been bred. Somehow she got isolated. And I don't see that there's not a way that a cat can become isolated. Myakka it's not that far from Myakka to the Fakahatchee Strand and those areas where they know that there are panthers. So, I mean, I couldn't dispute that. And I'm sure that it's been reported to the Game Commission. I haven't read anything lately about it.
Okay, well, thanks for your call, and we're going to take another. We've got quite a few more here, but I want to remind people, too, that Pete's website is not coincidentally perhaps called floridapanther.com, but it's not just all kinds of great information on the Florida Panther, but about his other interests and pursuits musically and otherwise, floridapanther.com. Hi, you're on WMNF on Talking Animals with Pete Gallagher.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
Excellent. I just wanted to call and say I go out in the woods a lot, and you know, I've been out in Hillsborough State Park. I know that's really close to our neck of the woods, and I've seen a big cat out there. You know, I go out there with the headlight on my, and I strap it on, and anything that moves that has eyes, pretty much the eyes reflect back at me. And a couple times we were out there, and there was a, you know, a cat moving around. It's a big cat.
What color were the eyes?
What's that?
What color were the eyes?
Well, they kind of lighted up green, as I remember.
Yeah, deer, like a deer's.
But it was a little bit lower to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how. And another case that has nothing to do with that, but, you know, HCC, I mean, the college there on Kennedy, they have a fox living there, or they did. And it was a wild fox, and I looked it up on the internet, and it was a fox actually from Arizona that was living there. And everybody knew about it. It had a nickname. I can't remember right now, but this was about 2 years ago. And I think there's a lot of animals spread out throughout, and I don't know how they're making it or what they're feeding on. But
well, there's been cases where tourist attractions have closed down. I remember Johnny Weissmuller had a Wonderland of some kind over there near Titusville. And the place went out of business, and all the animals took off. And you had leopards, and you had lions, and you had jackarundis, and all kinds of different animals that were escaped, and actually were found out there at Cape Canaveral and all the Merritt Island Wildlife Refuge. Monkeys that were not native to Florida. But I think the point needs to be made that if if you saw something and you reported it to the Game Commission, they would go out there and they would investigate it. They might not come back with a response that you would appreciate or not, but there's no reason that they would find a Florida panther and try to keep it hidden so as not to ruin development in Florida. Most of the people in the Game Commission that I know of are environmentalists, and you just could not keep anything like that quiet. Somebody, it would come out, and I just find it odd. People have this view that the government doesn't want to talk about this. The problem is that they can't find that indisputable proof. And if they could, then there'd be headlines in the paper, panther found in Hillsborough River State Park, and they would go out there and they would try to catch that panther and try to find out and track it and see if there's other panthers near it. If there's not, they would probably try to move it into an area where there were other panthers. But that's my feeling, you know.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. We've got plenty more here. Just want to let people know again that this is Talking Animals on WNF, and we're speaking with Pete Gallagher about Florida panthers, and taking your calls at 813-239-9663. Sorry, 813-239-9663. You can email us at dj@wmnf.org if you're having trouble getting through. We're just sort of in the waning moments, but let's take a couple more calls. Hi, you're on WMNF with Pete Gallagher on Talking Animals.
Hey, just wanted to give a little plug, if I could, up to Dade City. There is a beautiful Florida panther at Dade City Wild Things. It's a rescue zoo on Blanton Road up in Dade City, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place to go.
Okay.
You can see a beautiful cat right there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for your call. You know, that reminds me, Pete, over kind of near where I live, there's a sanctuary where, among other things, they have, I guess, probably three or four panthers. But these are ones that some dopes, I guess, first tried to make pets. And moreover, I think most, if not all of them, of course, have been declawed. So mm-hmm. now, you know, yeah. Obviously they ain't going anywhere, and I don't know how often that...
Well, it's very rare to find a real Florida panther in a zoo. I can tell you that right now. It's very harsh requirements. It's an endangered species. Whoever tried to make a pet of these, if they really were Florida panthers, I have to doubt that they were. Mm-hmm. If they were, they're committing a huge endangered species violation of... many years in jails and hundreds of thousands of dollars if you take a bunch of cats to do that. And they call them Florida panthers, but most of the time they're not. And,
oh, really?
And you could
yeah.
call the Game Commission, and they have a list. Every one of those panthers has a number.
Mm.
Some of them even have names. And they know where every single panther that's known. There are, I think, at the Tallahassee Junior Museum, there's a few places where there are real Florida panthers that are unable to be released into the wild for one reason or another.
Sure.
And but the Game Commission knows where those places are. There's no place out there that has an enclosed animal in captivity that they don't know about. But
right.
there's a lot of places that say Florida panther, and you look at the animal, and it's going to look quite a bit like a
sure.
Florida panther.
Yeah. Sure. Well, again, there's that whole black market, too, of animals like this and other more exotic mm-hmm. animals, too. So, gosh, we've got a bunch of calls. We're sort of in our waning moments, especially because we do want to not only get to our normal Name That Animal tune, but want to close out with a cat Florida panther-related song that Pete co-wrote. So we're going to take maybe one more call, and then maybe we'll proceed. Hi, you're on WMNF with Pete Gallagher on Talking Animals.
Yes, my name is Larry Norton, and I was driving back from Fort Myers and on my motorcycle, and I was 5 seconds from hitting what I saw. It looked like a lynx to me. It had a bobtail, pointy ears, and it was spotted.
Well, it could have been a bobcat, Florida bobcat.
Florida bobcat?
They live in the same areas that the Florida panther lives in. They go after the same prey.
Oh,
and
well,
they are big. They're
yeah,
surprisingly
they're
big animals. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was right on the highway.
Mm-hmm. That's very believable. Yeah.
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 All right. Well, thanks so much for your call.
Okay.
Nope. Okay, folks. I know there's other callers here, and I wish we could get to more. But Pete, real quick, before we sort of proceed with a couple of things, and then get to the song. I mean, what besides going, of course, to your website, floridapanther.com, what could people do to if they do want to help these panthers one way or another? There's some things they could do, some websites they could visit, anything.
Well,
in particular?
The big money maker is the Florida Panther license plate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one. It says Save the Panther, and that money goes into the Florida Panther Trust Fund that finances not only Florida Panther recovery, but the purchase of land. The purchase of land, supporting large land purchases, is the only way to save the animal. And right now there's an actual town being built right in Florida Panther territory called Ave Maria. It's a Catholic town being put in by the guy that was former chairman of the board of Domino's Pizza. And there's going to be a university there that's going to be bigger than Notre Dame in no time. And you're going to have a community of 20,000-30,000 people. And it's how that would manage to happen, I don't know. But
yeah.
Somebody put a waiver in there that allowed that. And those kind of developments, that kind of huge thing is death to the Florida panther. Without the Florida panther, there's no more wilderness in Florida. It is at the top of the food chain.
Wow. All right, Pete. Well, gosh. Okay, so we just want to urge people in the meanwhile to go to floridapanther.com if they want to sort of educate themselves further. And there's some great information and links there. And on a whole different note, of course, again, you can hear Pete most Thursdays, probably not tomorrow morning as it turns out, but most Thursday
right.
mornings on the Florida Folk Show from 9 to 10 a.m. here right here on 88.5 FM WMNF. So, but he's not going anywhere because we're going to hear a song he recorded just a moment, but we're going to continue with the show here. I am Duncan Strauss, and you are listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our MySpace page. We are looking for some friends just like you. Make suggestions for future guests or topics and more. That's all found on talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to Name That Animal tune. There'll be a prize, your very own Talking Animals t-shirt, and who doesn't want one of those? To the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this, I think, fairly relevant animal tune. And actually, this would be more relevant. And it's Name That Animal Tune on WMNF.
The Indians send signals from the rocks above the pass. The cowboys take position in the bushes and the grass. The score is with the corporal, she is tied against a tree. She doesn't mind the language, it's the beating she don't need. She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep.
Hi, you're on WMF. Can you name that animal tune? Hello? Hi, you're on WMF. Can you name that animal tune? Hi, you're on WMF. Can you name that animal tune?
It's Cool for Cats.
Okay, cool. What's your name?
Keith.
Okay, Keith. All right, I'll come back and get your info. Thanks. Congratulations. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, folks. We've just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WNF Tampa. The program now airs twice a month, first and second Wednesday of each month, so I'll be back Wednesday, March 5th Hope you'll join me then. Meanwhile, please visit our website, talkinganimals.net. While you're there, please sign up for our email newsletter. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And Pete, do you want to introduce this this final animal song here?
This was a song recorded by T.C. Carr and the Shooters way back in 1991. He did it for the he wrote the music. I wrote the words, and it was used as a fundraiser for the old Save the Florida Panther group, which is no longer in existence, but was there for about 10 years in those early days. And this is T.C. Carr, Lenny Austin, Stormin Norman Doozan, the late piano player, Vinny Sapleski, and a couple other guys. It's called Hold On, Big Cat.
Right here on WMNF Tampa. Thanks again for listening. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
In the swamp where your babies die.